Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, March the 20th, 2026. 12 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And I just want to say again, because I misspoke last hour, it was Judge Warner who got into all the trouble here in Marion a few years ago and served a prison sentence for that. Anytime you say a name wrong like that, you know, you're working without a net during a live program. Judge Warner is the one who got into that trouble. Okay, Matt, now, where are we? It's Friday.
It is, in fact, Friday.
Last day of winter, maybe, I think.
Well, yeah, that's allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, Christian, how are you?
I'm good. I'm driving home for spring break, so I figured I would, since your show's on right now, I thought I'll go to my favorite drive time morning radio program.
Oh, I appreciate it. So, how are things at college?
It's very, everything comes in waves. The beginning of the semester, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Now I've been dead for a few weeks, but I'll have three exams when I come back from break, so I'm not looking forward to that. But after that, it's smooth. It's a smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing.
I've been real big trying to apply for Washington, D.C. internships, and I got the one I wanted, so that's good news I got this week.
Oh, can you tell us who it is?
Yeah, Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur. She's from the Northwest Ohio, Toledo area up by Lake Erie.
Now, isn't she in a race right now with...
Yes.
Yeah.
So she is... so it started in 22 with her. She... When the maps were redrawn the first time, she was drawn into a much more Republican-leaning district. And not only is she a she's, you know, longest-serving woman in congressional history, she sits on the Appropriations Committee, and she is able to bring back all sorts of federal funding to her district that other members can't. So she's a strong incumbent, and the Republican opponents she's faced are not very strong. In 24, she faced... she ran against Derek Marin. He was the guy... He was supposed to be the Speaker of the House in Ohio... But there was the whole blue 22 stuff with the Republicans. They joined with the Democrats to vote for someone else. The guy who lost that election ran against Marcy Kaptur in 24. That was a pretty close race. And, of course, with the Democrats not doing so well at the top of the ticket, it hurt her. Now her district is even more Republican, but she's running against a slew of bad candidates. It's the former ICE people running against her. You have a state representative named Josh Williams, who is relatively far to the right. I know that would, help in a Republican district, but when you're running against a decorated incumbent, that's going to be tough. So I don't know, but I'll be in her official congressional office in Washington this summer. So that'll be fun.
Well, very nice. Congratulations, and Naomi says congratulations too here from her.
Well, thank you, Naomi.
Yeah. So you're listening to the show this morning. What was it? Was it a scintillating first hour? Scintillating.
Yeah, well, I turned my phone on at about 8:30 because that's when I started to move my stuff down to my car, and I would say probably since the beginning of this new administration, the ways that they took out Ayers Ratliff and Jason Schauber, it's the Republican establishment, and you cannot do anything to in any way insult them or to, you know, go against what they believe in, or they're going to put your head on a stake. And I feel like this connects to all stuff with the prosecutor. and the influence that the, you know, how closely knit he is with the police. Now, I feel like any casual observer would think, well, wouldn't you want the prosecutor to be close with the police? Yes. However, the police, they're not your enforcer, per se. You are there to prosecute when you think the law has been violated, and they are there to, you know, conduct investigations and such. So I'm, you know, thinking recently, you know, the case that Naomi cites about, you know, the teacher from River Valley, the recent case about the police officer, and now that you have the Heidi Ratliff case delayed again, I just, you know, there's something that's really not right in my view. Like, I guess let's do the Ratliff case first. I know tragedy has befallen Ray Grogan's family, and that's, you know, a horrible thing. But if you're not able to prosecute the case, let someone else prosecute the case. I mean, I don't know how much time you need. This is a, you know, very minor charge. A trial would be done in a day or two, probably. Like, it's, and you keep delaying it, and just, you're doing all of this while you accept a position with, you know, another county to prosecute a high-profile case involving an officer-involved death. When, you know, it didn't sit right with me that they picked a prosecutor from the one county that has the president of the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police. Yet you're asking this guy who's close with them, goes on vacations, the president of the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police, to be the independent prosecutor who's going to prosecute police for, you know, putting the knee on the neck or the back of someone and suffocating them until they die. That just reeks of something. And then you go to the case involving the police officer and the alleged rape. And again, Grogan won't remove himself from that. He was very instrumental in Judge Anderson's campaign and unseating Judge Edwards and the connection that Judge Anderson has, and how he is so, how he's fighting really hard to stay on that case, even though, you know, any other county or court in America, if there is even a hint of conflict, the judge will recuse themselves. Now, go to Adams County, for example. You had the civil trial of the rapper Afro Man, who was sued by members of the Adams County Sheriff's Department.
Isn't he a snappy dresser?
He's a snappy dresser, and some of the songs, oh my gosh, I've been listening to them casually the last few days. They are so good. And I have a classmate. Her dad is a very high-profile politician in Adams County, and I talk to her about this all the time, and it is so funny. And she, like, sees him, like, imagine a Rolls Royce driving around Marion and parking at the Family Dollar or the Walmart. That's what people in Adams County see with this guy, and I just think it's the best. But
does he live in Adams County?
Yeah, he owns a bunch of property out there. He can kind of get away from everybody, though I don't know if he'll live in Adams County much longer. But that's beyond the point. The point is there. The judges in that case recused themselves because of, you know, the sheriff's department was the plaintiff in the case, so the judges recused themselves. Like, you would expect to see the same thing here, wouldn't you? But you didn't, and that's a problem. So, you know, I don't understand the knack that this prosecutor has for it, just, you know, law enforcement and Marion in general. And coincidentally, all these people run the Republican Party. You know, they're so closely knit. And anywhere else in the country, you would suspect impropriety. You would suspect, you know, something's not above board here. But, you know, we have a county prosecutor who, you know, claims he can't prosecute cases, and he has a legitimate reason for saying that. Yet he's also, you know, goes on vacations with the guy who runs the Fraternal Order of Police, and he's appointed to prosecute an officer-involved death in another county. I don't like that. And then you have, you know, in the police officer case, the judge has a tie to the alleged victim, and the prosecutor won't do anything about it. And coincidentally, the prosecutor helped the judge get elected. I mean, it's a tangled web. I mean, what a tangled web we weave. But, like, it makes no sense. It's going to stay like this forever. Ray Grogan is a young guy, politically speaking. I mean, take a look at the median age of our city council and our county commissioners. Ray Grogan is a young guy. Todd Anderson, relatively, I mean, not, you know, he's, you know, average, I guess. I mean, these people are going to be in office for a long time. Things are not going to change. And it's just really disheartening to see when, you know, you take great pride in a place and you just see, you know, the only times I see Marion in the news for things like this, and then you peel back the layers and you see, you know, the conflicts between the prosecutor and the judge, or, you know, all just, it's really disheartening to see, and I know that there's nothing that really can be done about it because of the political leanings of our county and how a person will win an inanimate object would win an election if it had an R next to its name. But, you know, it's just really sad to see, and how it has negatively impacted so many lives, too.
Well, that's certainly true. Now, how do you feel about the other two cases?
Which other two cases? There's a lot of cases.
Well, I think we've spent a lot of time talking about the case in out at River Valley.
I've seen snippets of it on Facebook. So it's a teacher who is in a position of power was engaged in inappropriate conduct with a student. Even though they weren't separated by that much in age, she was still legally an adult and was in a position of power over him. That's what the case is here.
Yeah, and I think there's proof that she kissed the student and that he sent an inappropriate picture to her. Now, the assertion is that the reason she never faced any repercussion is because of who her uncle is.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you would think, you know, did the River Valley people release a statement about this long after it happened, right after it happened? Because, you know, I feel like, you know, if you are receiving, I mean, like Naomi said, or might have been you, if you're a teacher and you get a message like that, you need to report it to somebody.
But now, first of all, she was a sub. We need to say that. She was also, this student was not somebody that she taught. It was not one of her students. And I believe there was only a few years difference in their age. I don't think she had gotten her degree yet when this had happened. I think she was just substituting.
I would be curious what the dynamics are like. Because if that's really the case, then, yeah, I mean, you got to keep in mind, when you are, you know, an adult, I mean, even if you guys knew each other growing up and, you know, your families knew each other or you were, because, you know, when you, there's a, you know, small town, odds are if you're not separated by that much in age, families might know each other, things like that, you know, you're in the same social circles, a lot of things like that might happen. And of course, you know, when you're dealing with the teenager through puberty, all they're all a part of the teenager. But you've got to, you know, when you're a teacher and the kid, I don't care if she wasn't a teacher, she taught at the same school he attended. That's a problem.
Okay,
and
but
she is legally assault. It's a problem, and I understand the whole they're similar in age. She wasn't actually his teacher. But you have to keep in mind, you've got it all. We're all about appearances, and yeah, I think the fact that if this were a substitute at Marion City Schools, and there were no family ties to any elected officials, I'm sure that there would be a lot more outrage about this.
Well, see, that's and that's the question. Nobody is saying that this is not a story of teacher misconduct. But should the uncle be tangentially brought into this story?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, there are so many people. There's a lot of people who are, you know, in public office, and they're, you know, you could be a senator or something, and, you know, one of your kids could get a DUI, your, you know, brother or sister could get in trouble. Like, they're not, you don't live in the same house. Like, you know, like, it's not your, you know, I have a phrase here that my friends and I here use, not my animals, not my zoo. I mean, I don't think it's a Kenny Syverson problem, but it certainly helps the relative that her last name would be Syverson.
But again, when we're talking about perspective, when this man is in a hotly contested primary that basically will give us our next county commissioner, a four-way primary, and this story comes up and his name is used in the story, in between the time he announces his candidacy and when that primary takes place, see, I don't think this story has anything to do with him unless we have proof that it does.
Well, and Scott, do you want to know who it reflects poorly on? It doesn't reflect poorly on Kenny Stuyvesant. It reflects poorly upon the fact that this is the norm for, you know, Marion County politics and law enforcement. It might reflect poorly on the leadership of River Valley. I mean, it's because, you know, if this was, any laws were violated, like, you know, we should have been hearing about an investigation or, you know, a charge or something. Like, this is, it's not a Kenny Stuyvesant problem. It is his relative that probably benefited from her last name being that of this politician. Maybe Marion's law enforcement, who is in with the, who, you know, is friends with the Stuyvesant family, not wanting to prosecute a member of the Stuyvesant family. Going further, you could say, you know, is Marion County law enforcement, this person, she probably thought, well, if this is my last name, I have nothing to worry about. And you know, those situations are tough because, you know, it's close in age, you know, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that sort of blur the lines a little bit, and I'm sure, you know, that I'm guessing that, because, you know, if you're that student, I mean, I know when I was 17, I would have known, you know, that's not a situation I want to get myself in.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, just because you're closer, well, I'll ask you and Matt both this. Now, because you guys are similar in age, and, now, did you ever have a crush on a teacher?
I mean, everyone at school said, you know, oh, you know, this is a cute teacher, but it's also like, Harding didn't have any teachers that were in their early 20s. They didn't have any subs in their early 20s.
But what if there had been?
Oh, well, I'm positive. I mean, if you've ever seen a group of teenage boys, I mean, yes, of course, I'm sure that would have taken, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure jokes would have been cracked and the like. So.
Now, and again, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but if one of those teenage boys, as you say, making the jokes, blah, 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 actually got some kind of response from this girl, took a run at this girl, woman, however you want to refer to her, do you think the boy is going to back off?
No, and that's sort of, you know, a problem in society, I guess. I mean, you could argue, because, you know, if the roles were reversed, you know, everyone, you mean, I would say in both situations, it's a bad thing. But society sort of, you know, I see comments on Facebook posts, a female teacher is charged with X, Y, or Z for inappropriate relations with a student, and all the comments say, oh, if that were me in high school, or, you know, that kid's lucky, la-da-da-da-da. I mean, there's a difference in how society views that, so I'm sure that, you know, a 22-year-old student teacher or a substitute teacher who's a woman may not feel that same pressure that a 22-year-old male substitute teacher would feel, because society is going to view both of those situations differently, and unfortunately that's the way it is. And I'm sure that's a reason why, you know, this, you know, if it were Kenny Stiverson's, you know, nephew or something, and the genders were reversed here, I'm, you know, sure things would be a little different.
I think you're...
You know, I don't think we'd be having the conversation, oh, if you were a 17-year-old girl, would you part? You like, no. I mean, everyone would automatically agree that you can't do that. But because the genders are reversed, unfortunately, you know, that's how society looks at it. It's different.
But, you know, one of the things we're going to have to come to grips with in this society is we are a society that sees gender. And to act as if we don't, that's not really the truth of the matter. I'm sorry, it's just not. Ohio's never, Marion's never had a female mayor, Ohio's never had a female governor, and we've never had a female president. So, you know, we do see gender, we do see race, we do see ethnicity, we do see those things. And to act as if we don't, that's not exactly true. Matt, ever a crush on a teacher?
All of my teachers that I can recall were like old women, so no.
Okay, if there was a 20 whatever.
When I was at, when I went to Tri Rivers, I was in auto, but one of the welding teachers, I know a lot of the kids in the welding lab had a crush on her because she was probably 20 something.
Okay, now if they had made a run at this girl, do you think that they would have backed off had she reciprocated in any way?
Probably. I don't see why they would. I mean, they made the run at her.
And that's what I'm saying. I again, not saying it's right. Don't make a run at your teachers. But to act as if students don't get crushes on teachers or even their professors in college, that's just not so.
I think I have just knowing how tightly knit a lot of rural communities are, in like a river valley, you've got to think that these two knew each other, or their families knew each other, or they've been at dinner parties together or something. Like, I don't know, but at the end of, like, it's, yes, they're close in age, and if it was the, you know, student making the run at the teacher should still know, I'm a teacher here. Like, If I send this kid anything, or if I make a pass at this kid, word spreads like wildfire. I mean, in my...
Absolutely.
She should have known.
I agree.
I think above all, like, even though, yeah, they're close in age, whatever, the teacher should have known.
I agree with you 100%, but I will tell you, I have been in classrooms. Now, this may seem harmless, but when you think of it on the whole, I have been in classrooms, and it's usually the female who does this. I have not heard it from too many males. Now, I take that for what you will. But I have heard teachers, or at least authority figures, say, how old do you think I am? Or how old do you think I look? Or things of that nature. Now, I'm not saying that that is a sexual reference, but do you really care what a high school kid, boy or girl, thinks about your age and your look?
I mean, no, and I think we are a primal society, especially with social media. I mean, talks about looks and sex and all of that are, I mean, there's a class at Miami University called Sex and Gender Studies, and I have two friends in that class, and they'll tell me, I mean, it's like, people are animals. I mean, even if they don't admit it, they are. And, you know, this sounds... this is not a conversation that is... I thought I'd be having on the radio, but it's like... That's how people, you know, are like... Think of the things that people would say about Leslie Davis when she first started running for office. I mean, I heard some of your callers say, you know, this isn't a you thing, this is a your callers thing. They would just say things about her that are like, you can't say that about a woman. You couldn't say that about a guy. Like, it's not appropriate to talk about someone's looks like that. I'm sorry for my voice. I have bad allergies. But, like, you just can't say that. And the fact that, you know, people think that those comments are okay to make, you know, you say that about a political candidate. You just can't say those things.
It was completely inappropriate, and I defended her in that case.
No, I think you did. And then, like, if it's professionals asking, how old do you think I am? What response are you trying to evoke? You know that age, the golden rule, you never ask somebody their age. And, like, if you say this person's too old, then they're going to be offended. If you think they're too young, then they're going to think you're hitting on them. So it's like, just keep those conversations out of the professional setting. Like, it's that easy.
Right, I mean, when somebody, I never understood asking a high school student that question, because maybe you want them to think you look younger than you actually are, but if you are a female and there are males in the room, that's, you know, looking younger is something we equate with looking good. And do you want kids telling you you look good? Is that what you're going for? I don't quite get it.
And then at the end of the day, I'm sorry. That much that she needs validation from a 17-year-old. I don't care if she's 21. Go on a college campus. Like, you'll be just fine. You don't need validation from a high school student.
No, and honestly, I mean, I wonder if Weslin is aware that those comments were made about her. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure she is a woman in a professional setting. I think every woman has had to deal with this stuff.
Well, I think she's aware, but I wonder if she's aware they were made, when they were made, because that was a totally political conversation. I think it was after a program she was on one day.
Yes, it was. And I listened to one of them live, and I'm like, dude, you can't say that. Like, this is not something that you can say about, I mean, this, a woman, but anybody. Like, well, and it was like, just, there's like, there was innuendo, and it was just gross.
Well, and I want to ask you this, because, you know, obviously you're a student of politics. Because we've talked a lot about Ray Grogan's career and where he can possibly go from here in the situation. Okay, well, there you go. So do you think his career, more or less, even at his young age, is more or less over, aside from being Marion County prosecutor?
I mean, you know, God forbid Vivek Ramaswamy wins, I mean, well, first of all, say goodbye to Marion City Schools as we know it. But I'm sure he could talk himself into some position, or, you know, I don't know who the Republican running for Attorney General is. It might be Keith Faye. I don't know. He could, you know.
Oh, it's the, it's, we had him on. Keith Faber.
Straw. Oh, okay. Faber. Or, you know, I don't think he's going to advance, but he could do a Judge Edwards, and he could go get a job as an assistant prosecutor somewhere else. I mean, the Trump administration wouldn't appoint him. Like, if the Trump administration says, you are persona non grata, like, you've got a problem. Like, you know, and I don't know what he'd run. I mean, you know, all the Republican positions, I mean, you're not going to run for anything else countywide. You're not going to want to be commissioner because, you know, you don't want to be, you're top cop in the county. Like, you don't want to become an advisory board member. Like, you could go for, well, you can't go for state rep because, you know, that pot's been filled. You're not going to go for state senator because Bill Reinecke is about to be Senate president next year. So you're not going to be able to primary Bill Reinecke. You know, there's no congressional seat. There's, you know, Jim Jordan's there forever. So it's like, there's no room to move up. But even if he did, he wouldn't get out of a primary because, you know, conservatives especially love law and order. I can't tell you, you know, the last couple of years it's been all about law and order. This guy is like around a 50% of conviction rate. You know, he lets, you know, he goes after innocent families while, you know, giving sweetheart plea deals to bad people. Like, this is not the tough on crime guy that all, you know, conservatives want in office. So,
well,
you know, being a student of power, I mean, yeah, and you know, you can say he's a charismatic young, I mean, he's young for power. I don't know how charismatic he is, but You know, I don't think Ayers or Heidi Ratliff would say this is a, you know, a good guy. But I don't know. I mean, I think he has job security where he's at right now. He's in there until 2020, that's a 6-year term. He's in there until 23rd. Six or eight years, or four or six, I don't know, but he's in there for a long time, and he's going to have it for as long as he wants.
Well, the only thing I want to say about that is that I yes, the buck does stop with him. He is the county prosecutor, but there are other people who work in that office. And sometimes when I look at these press releases and I look at things that are done out of that office, because I don't see anybody resigning from that office, I have to think that there are other people involved in a lot of these decisions. And yes, he must make the final decision, but my understanding is he is a guy who likes to get other people's opinion. He is a guy who can be swayed by what other people think if they make a case. You know, and again, I don't see anybody walking out of that office in protest over how things are handled. So, you know, I don't know. It, again, the buck stops with him, I guess, but you know what?
I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. I'm a big LinkedIn guy now, and I've read news articles about recent trials, I will look up some of these prosecutors, because there's a pretty big trial recently. He had a lot of prosecutors at that table, and he didn't need, so I looked them up, and a lot of them, you know, Marion County is a stepping stone for them. So he might just be a really charitable guy. I'm like, look, I want to get my assistant prosecutors, this good work so they can go get a job in Delaware County or they can go work in Franklin. Well, I don't think a Franklin County prosecutor would hire any of these people, but they can go to a bigger county where they're going to get paid a little more. They could go into private practice. Like, I know Mark Weaver, he's part-time with the Grogan's office. He works for a big law firm in Columbus. Like, I think a lot of this stuff is stepping stones for his prosecutors.
Well, and the other question I have, because, boy, this has certainly changed quite a bit in the last few weeks, and I don't know when the last time you were in Marion County was, but I want a prediction in the 86th District primary, which is coming up in about a month here, a month and a week. Cinco de Mayo, it's going to be one heck of a primary night for sure.
I have a question. I saw a Facebook post this morning from the Marion County Republican Party that made the assertion that a candidate was saying that they were endorsed by Marion Republicans when they weren't.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know who that. Maybe someone can text you and let you know. But
well, what's the? Where's the post? We'll figure that one out. You saw this?
I didn't see it, but I do believe
Marion, Ohio Republican Party Facebook page, I think.
I believe maybe somebody referenced it at one point. I do believe it was Weslyn Davis made a post that said she was endorsed by all Marion County Republicans, and I think it might have been Schauber who said, I don't endorse her, so, you know, you can't say all Marion County Republicans,
or something like that. I am going to defend Weslyn Davis here. I don't know a single Republican in Marion County who has endorsed Ben Weber. I do.
Now, wait a second. Now, that's not... Now, see?
Okay.
We got to be fair here, Christian. We got to be fair.
Who is it? Because I...
Mark Davis. I believe Mark Davis has. And
oh,
I believe...
Oh, my God. That endorsement sure carries a lot of weight, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know, Christian. I don't know what goes on over there. I don't think the mayor has endorsed anybody.
Well, that would be a losing situation for him, because he's going to need all the, especially with how this city's going, dude. He's going to need the mayor of the city of Marion is going to need, just through the circumstances we find ourselves in. I heard the Tom Pannett interview. I thought it was great. I agree with Tom Pannett. I think the mayor probably doing all he can with the card he's been dealt. I don't agree. I mean, he can do a lot of stuff differently, but I mean, I don't know, but. My point with that is the mayor needs a helping hand in the next state representative.
Well, what?
It wouldn't do him any good to get involved in the primary. I think it's going to be Weslyn Davis. She has...
Really?
Well, she's been in the... Yeah, even though...
Have you been to Marion recently?
No, I...
I'll tell you what, the Ben Weber signs are everywhere.
Really?
That's what I said. I think you've got a misjudge here on what's going on in Marion.
We were on the way down.
Well, but hey, Scott, I'm going to be in Marion tomorrow before I go out for spring break. So I'll have to drive around. But
drive down the boulevard, drive down Barks Road. You're going to see more Ben Weber signs than Winston Davis.
Well, Ben Weber has all the money. And where is the money in Marion County? It's on the boulevard. It's on, I don't know if it's on Barks Road. It's down on the part of Barks Road by the Y. I mean, it's, you know, that's the part of town where the money is. That's, you know, Ben Weber has the money. He has the big packs backing him. But Weslin Davis has been around longer. I mean, she ran, of course, she ran in 24. Granted, I'm sure you can say the same about Ben Weber, but Weslin Davis, I mean, she has all the conservative credentials. She says the right, you know, if I'm a Republican primary voter, she says the right things. So, I don't know. I mean, if she can really harp hard against Ben Weber for herself. You know, she was the one who ran against Tracy Richardson. She's the true conservative who's not going to let, you know, you can, you know, Ben Weber, you know, he didn't run against Tracy Richardson. You could say Ben Weber was fine with the Blue 22 stuff. I'm talking like a campaign manager. I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at this post from the Republican Party, and since we are on radio, I'm going to read it for the people here really quick, because I find this fascinating. Now, this is capital letters. Please note from your Marion County Republican Party, Marion, Ohio. It has come to our attention that a candidate running for the 86th District State Representative position has been advertising that they are endorsed by the Marion County Republican Party, along with pictures of members of our Central Committee. This is an absolute lie, and we are very disappointed that this false information is being shared on their personal Facebook page. In capital letters, we do not endorse anyone during a primary election. It's against our bylaws, which govern our committee and local party. Please do your own research and know who you are voting for during this very important primary election. Well, even though they're not endorsing anybody, they're coming down hard on somebody there, and clearly, again, not endorsing anybody in that race, but they're certainly saying, we're not with that person.
But, like, let's say Joe Smith is on the Marion County Central Committee, and Joe Smith, the city councilman, who endorsed Weslin Davis, I mean, you can't get mad at her for using a picture of that. Yeah, he might be on Central Committee, but he also endorsed in his capacity as a councilman.
But did she say she was endorsed by the Republican Party? Isn't that what the post says here?
If that's what's being alleged, I mean, I would do some investigative journalism and go to her Facebook page, maybe. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you should never... I don't know why candidates think they're going to get away with falsely endorsing.
Okay, now think about this, though, Christian. Why would you go to that tactic this late in the race if you thought you had it sewn up?
That's true. And you're right. And now that I think of it, I was in Marion. It would have been very late February, maybe early March. I was there, and I stayed at a friend's house on Mount Vernon Avenue down by Grant. I did see one bed. There's a house on Mount Vernon Avenue down by kind of the Brightwood Drive area. Always has conservative signs in the yard. There's a Ben Weber sign in there. But
well, all I'm saying is that the line in this thing from the Republican Party that says that it's come to our attention there's a candidate running for the 86th District state representative position that has been advertising that they are endorsed by the Marion County Republican Party. They're not saying, they're saying that they're saying that. They're not saying that it's a misrepresentation, along with pictures of the members of our Central Committee. This is an absolute lie. They are calling this person a liar and saying they're disappointed and putting out false information. So again, they might not be endorsing anybody, but whoever did this, they're saying, hey, this is a liar. We're disappointed in him. And they're putting out false information. I think that's a big deal.
It is. It reminds me of something that happened in Texas recently. There's that hotly contested Republican primary for the U.S. Senate, and the incumbent senator said, his team leaked something. They said, I think Trump's about to endorse him. And Trump doesn't like when his endorsement is preempted, so he said, I'm not endorsing him. So you could have, you know, maybe there are a lot of Marion people who, you know, supported Wesley Davis' candidacy, but, you know, maybe they think this move reeks of desperation or it's a bridge too far. If you had asked me in February, I would have said Wesley Davis was the favorite, but I haven't been up there. And the primary is not for another, you know, month and a half.
And do we know this is Wesleyan, though?
No, we don't. I mean, it could be Stephen Wolf. Who? So, you know, some of your viewers might be asking who. And it could be Ben Weber. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would feel bad if we've been, you know, talking about how this would impact Wesley Davis for the last 10 minutes, and it turns out it's not her. So this candidate, I don't know. But if you had asked me, you asked my thoughts on the race, if you had asked me in February, I would have said I thought Wesley Davis was a slight favorite. I mean, no one's going to get a majority of the vote. I would say, you know, Stephen Wolf. Thing is, both he and Ben Weber are from Marysville. So if Stephen Wolf wanted a chance, it would have to be Marysville. But I would bet Marysville is just littered with Ben Weber. Just littered. Because, you know, that's the population hub of the district. I'm going to guess Stephen Wolf, he'd try 5 to 10% of the vote, and then, you know, as math would have it, I'd say the winner of this race probably wins by, you know, 4 or 5.
Does this hurt?
It would be more hurtful if people knew who it was.
Well, that's interesting.
But if people are already assuming it's Wesley Davis, then I'm sure that, you know, because the people who are going to vote in the primaries are, you know, they're likely more informed, so they know the talk on the street, if, you know, as it were, and I don't know. I think the commissioner's race is more interesting, though. Granted, I haven't been up there. I notice Mike Bodine's design firm is doing Christy Neff's Facebook stuff. Just because, you know, you look at the Bill Collins stuff, you look at the Twyla Lang stuff, you look at the Ron Prater stuff, it looks just like Christy Neff. So you can tell, obviously, that's the establishment favorite right there. I mean, it's the councilman's wife, former councilman's wife. So, of course, you know, that'd be the favorite. So it's Iverson, Christy Neff, Schauber, who, you know, I think if the county doesn't elect Jason Schauber, I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's the last hope, but, you know, we're getting pretty desperate. You know, for someone like him to come in and do what he was doing on council. Who's the fourth?
Tim Mooney.
Could you refresh my recollection of who that is?
It's just a Republican. I don't think he's ever held a seat in Marion.
I feel like the top two you hear about are Christy Neff and Jason Schauber, but Kenny Stivers, I mean, he lost the primary to Dr. Davis for some reason. I don't know what that reason is. I'm not plugged into Republican politics. A radical liberal Scott Spears would know more about that than I would. But,
radical liberal. There you go. Do you know that we had Jay Edwards? We had Jay Edwards, candidate for treasurer of Ohio, on after he had sat next to Bernie Moreno at the State of the Union the next morning on his way back?
You are best friends. You know, you have Mary Ellen Withrow on your show all the time, which means, unfortunately, you're a liberal. as, you know, a lot of people seem to believe, that's the correlation they make, if you look at your Facebook comments. But no, I don't know. I would want to know, because if Jenny Sanderson, if he is this big figure in Republican politics, but you're hearing nothing, have you seen a Ken Stivers the art sign anywhere?
Yes, there are Stuyvesant signs, yes.
Who is winning the county commissioner yard sign battle?
Well, you know, honestly, it's hard to say. I've seen Neff yard signs, I've seen Stuyvesant yard signs, I've seen Schauber, I've even seen Mooney. So, who's winning the yard sign battle?
I only asked because you mentioned State House, right?
I'm trying to remember. Matt, what do you think?
Out in my neck of the woods.
You live in the county.
I do believe Christy Neff is winning the yard sign battle.
No, there you go. But does she have the name recognition that Schauber or Stuyvesant has when people go to the ballot?
She has the Neff last name. I think she's pretty involved in some community orgs. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I had to predict. I think everyone that these, you know, has the backing of a lot of the big Republicans in Marion, they've never lost. So for that reason, a lot of people are into the prediction market. I would put my bets down on Christy Neff. Which, you know, just because that's how Marion's Republican politics have trended.
I don't know. See,
well, I mean, I would like to say, I mean, I think she does have more signs out than other people, but I mean, there are plenty of other signs for other candidates as well. I just think she's got slightly more than them.
I don't know if I can explain it, but it's just like when you have I don't know who the puppet master. The mayor's, I'm assuming the mayor's campaign masterminded the attack on Jason Schauber, fielded this brilliant city council field we had last year. I mean, I'm gonna guess those people have some hand in Christy Neff's campaign because, you know, her husband was a powerful city councilman for many years. And
I don't know how much power he had.
I'll tell you what.
I don't know about that.
No, I just saw he took charge at a lot of the meetings. I guess that's why I assumed that.
I'll tell you what. I'm not doing anything after the shows today. I'll go drive around the county.
Drive around the county.
Do some counting.
Count the signs. Who would you say has more signs in the state rep race?
Oh, Ben Weber, for sure. I mean, we were, like, on the way down from Columbus the other day after the Gordon Gee interview. I mean, we saw two or three big Ben Weber signs.
So that, Christian, we got to go to break, but stay tuned if you're in the car, and if anything pops in your mind, call back in, because the show goes on this morning.
Oh, good. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yep. Say it with some more enthusiasm, Christian. Like, oh, boy, this show's going to go on.
No, Scott, I am. I'm in the car for another hour. It'll give me something to listen to.
We'll be here. Stay tuned, Christian.
All right, thanks.
All right, Christian Pearson. Well, so good to hear from him. And stay tuned to everybody else, too. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
My wife said something funny, and I laughed. And the laugh was, you know, ha-ha!